Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey, Dark Hearts.
Hey, Dark Hearts. It never works at the same time, so I figured I would just, you know, echo.
It's perfect. I like it. You know, it is what it is. Sure, you would think after 38 episodes, we'd have like a general idea of how our intro is going to go, but it's whatevs.
To keep each other on our toes, you know.
It's nice, you know, and here it is. For our listeners, it is, unless they're a Patreon who already got to listen to episode 37, they're listening back to back. So it hasn't been that long for them, but it's been a few days for us.
From the last few minutes for you guys, probably still our annoying voices, or not annoying, I guess, depending on who you ask.
Right. I'm sure. The sickness has gone through my household now. So, well, by household, I just mean both my kids. Knock on wood that me and my husband don't get it, but we'll see.
It's all the things. It's the most wonderful time of the year. All the viruses and, you know.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So, hoping we can stay ahead of the game. And, yeah, I feel like we've had every sickness in our house. So, I feel like we've paid our dues. We should be good for a while. So we'll just hope that is the same for you.
I hope so. I don't know. I feel like my daughter was just sick not that long ago, and now we're back at this. And it's just, when kids are sick, it's, you feel bad for them, but then it also at points, like after several days, it gets frustrating because you're like, oh my God, if you would just do what I tell you, you're going to feel better.
Oh, I know. That's what I always tell my daughter. Like, okay, obviously I'm not going to send her to school like contagious and snotty and all that. But like at a certain point, I'm like, I know you don't feel good when you first wake up, but that's always how it is when you wake up and like at night, you know, when you go to bed. But I'm like, once you're at school, you'll be distracted. You won't even think about feeling crappy. So suck it up and go. Like, unless we were on our deathbeds growing up, it was like, you're going to school.
Yeah.
Times have changed though now, man. Kids.
I mean, fortunately or not, both my kids are off school this week.
Oh, so I guess that
they're going to be sick now. Now is the time. They're just both like stuffed up and like, you can tell they're kind of tired. They're just whiny and tired and like, I love them, but I'm like, okay, you guys got to eat. I get it. Like, when you have all that drainage and stuff, like, you're not really hungry and nothing really tastes that good. But I'm like, okay, but you have to eat because that's why your stomach now hurts, because you're not eating. You just have mucus and crap in your stomach.
Correct. It's just, it's a vicious cycle. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
welcome to the mom corner, I guess.
Yeah. This is the mom episode. Parent corner. No, yeah. Yes. But that's right. Momming. So, you know, other than that, we're excited to bring another case to you. Oh my gosh, I almost just said Cassie and next or something at the same time, but it came out as Casey. Your name's not Casey.
Listen, I've been called Casey so often.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, it is what it is now.
Yeah. I'm Cassie. It has a good, well, I don't know what story it is, but a story today.
Well, so this one is, I told you guys last episode, we are going to the Pine Ridge Reservation, and this one isn't really one specific case. This is kind of, I'm going to focus on some of the statistics of this reservation specifically, and then there are a few cases I'm going to kind of cover, because again, I know we keep saying this, you guys, but there's just not enough information about Indigenous people's cases. It's
really sad.
It's just ridiculous.
I mean, I knew that, but like I said last time too, until I started researching it, it was like, oh no, this is a very true thing. So like, Google any case and see how much you can find, because I guarantee you it'll be like a handful of the same article basically, and very just vague.
Exactly.
Because that's what it is, and it's really sad.
Yeah. So we're recording this one on a Tuesday now, and I worked yesterday. One of my clients, I don't think she listens, but she likes to ask me about it, you know? And so she's like, oh, what are you covering this time? And so I talked to her, and she's a nurse. And so she has talked to me. She's like, where she works, she gets a lot of people from the Macy Reservation and stuff. And so she was talking to me about that. And, we were discussing that, and I was like, you know, it's these things that you like, you know, but until you're researching it, you can't fully comprehend
no
how bad the discrepancy is.
Yeah. That's it was very eye-opening to me these last couple times that, which I know my first case about Savannah Graywind, there was more about that only because I think it was, I mean, I don't want to say a bigger deal than the other ones because it was just such a gruesome crime. And it was
a lot of times, recent, but the baby stealing cases tend to, it doesn't matter the ethnicity because at that point, then it's the shock value of which those cases, like everyone's like, oh my God, this is so shocking. But at the same time, there's a ton of those cases actually.
Yeah. I just read another one the other day about, I mean, it was an older case, but when I was looking stuff up and she also died from it. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I hate that that's even a thing now. I mean, that's terrible, but
I mean, it's, yeah, it's something that, especially since the internet's been a thing. I mean, like, obviously this isn't, but like one of the first ones I remember was this young woman who was pregnant and trying to buy a dog or something like that from this woman who was a supposed breeder who, cut her open and stole her baby. And
awful.
It is. But
I mean, those ones you do hear about more, but these ones, like the ones, you know, the last few we've done, it's been shorter because we just don't have the information. So that speaks for itself, I think, in regards to why it's a big deal.
And as we'll see in some of the cases I cover with this one, when there is an arrest and court and stuff, people don't get the kind of sentencing they would get against a white it's disgusting, and it is so let's get into this. So the first, like I said, I'm gonna kind of discuss facts about the Pine Ridge Reservation first.
Where is this tribe?
It's in South Dakota. I'm getting South to that Dakota. Part
Yep, okay, sorry. I know earlier you said that, and I was like, crap, I don't remember what state you had said when you mentioned it earlier. So jumping ahead, good. I apologize.
Okay. No, you're fine. I'm pretty sure I put somewhere in here exactly where it's located. Yeah, I did. Okay. So this reservation is home to the Ogallala Lakota Nation. Now, when I was looking this up, in some areas it said Ogallala Sioux. And so I kind of looked up to see if there was a difference. And I found, I typed an article, but really it wasn't an article. It was like a blurb on blackhillsvisitor.com addressing whether it's Lakota or Sioux. And it states pretty much in a super summation is it states that the two are interchangeable, but mentions that many prefer Lakota over Sioux because Sioux comes from a name given to the tribe by their enemies from way back when, like when settlers were first coming in. It sounds like the Ojibwe had a term for them, and then the French kind of took that term and made it slightly different. And then of course the English just chopped it down to Sioux. So I'm gonna try to say Lakota, but in a lot of stuff I also said Sioux. It's interchangeable.
Okay, just and so we know you're talking about the same tribe,
exactly. And so that's where I don't know if this is a personal preference thing, if like each person within this tribe maybe prefers one over the other. So I guess if we happen to have any listeners out there who know or are of this tribe, you know, and you want to let us know, like, I don't mean any disrespect. I tried to do my best. But a lot of what I read said Sioux. So yes. So just so you know, if I say Lakota or I say Sioux, that is the same tribe.
Okay.
And so now a lot of these facts that I'm going to tell you guys about are from the Pine Ridge Reservation website, and I'm going to be linking several websites and stuff for articles and things that I found, that'll be in our show notes underneath. Like I know we've been posting the same kind of sources for the MMIW stuff for this month, so it'll be underneath that. But on their site, they do also have a place for people to give donations if they feel so inclined. Cool. So the Pine Ridge Reservation is actually among the largest reservations in the U.S. It's second only to the Navajo Nation, which is located in Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah. And that is 14 to 16 million acres. I saw both, so I don't know exactly, but that's a lot. So
yeah, that is.
Yes. So Pine Ridge itself is in southwestern South Dakota, taking up all of Ogallala County, the southern half of Jackson County and Bennett County. So this is like right to on the border of South Dakota and Nebraska.
Okay, yeah.
So it's right in there. Mm-hmm. And this reservation is 2.1 million acres. So I mean, that Navajo Nation one is huge, and that's the largest, but this is the second largest reservation then.
That is huge.
Mm-hmm. So on the website itself, they even state that accurate statistics can be hard to come by. But a 2020 study found that the Ogallala Lakota County ranked last for health outcomes and health factors in the state of South Dakota. So this is things like length and quality of life, and then behaviors, clinical care, social and economic factors, and physical environment. The average life expectancy on the reservation is 66.81 years old. And this is the lowest average in the U.S.
And it was 66, you said?
Yep. So almost 67 years old. Statistics from the Pine Ridge Hospital itself indicate that men's life expectancy average is just 47 years. And Jeez. Women's is 55 years. And I looked it up, and the life expectancy for men and women in the U.S. both is 77.28 years.
That's wild.
Yes.
Wild.
I read something, and I can't remember where. This was back in August when I was looking up a different case. That Pine Ridge Reservation is almost like, it has like the same kind of like health and poor community like a third world nation has.
I believe that. I mean, yeah, it makes me sad. I have family that lives in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So like when I was back on the other side of Nebraska traveling there, you have to drive through several reservations, you know, and it is very sad to me just to see the state of it, because I mean, and it's not like it's necessarily, you know, them, but just clearly they don't have any kind of help or to take care of things or the, you know, the funds, and it's very sad. So that makes me sad. But I can, I mean, anyone who's driven through one understands.
I mean, if you think about it, these indigenous peoples had their land stolen from them when we came back, when we colonized the U.S., they were put in these reservations. They weren't given the funds they needed. And so they started from the bottom, and nothing has been put in place to then compensate or make up for that fact over all these hundreds of years. So what can you do when you're already at that level? It's hard to climb out of that. Oh, yeah. It's a vicious cycle, and they weren't paid what they should have been for their land. It's a whole thing. And like I said, you could go on a whole thing on the history of the colonization of America and stuff. Yeah.
It just shows once again, though, that they're not cared for. I mean, they're not treated like every other person that lives in the United States, or, you know what I mean? It's very sad.
It is.
Especially this day and age.
I know. So the current census report, and this one on the reservation site was from 2010, says that the current population is 19,830 people, 16,906 of whom are Native American. And I tried to look to see if there was a more updated one, but it was even from 2010. So you got to figure that was 12, almost 13 years ago. I'm sure it's a lot bigger by now.
Oh, yeah.
So the population is constantly changing based on a number of factors like access to transportation, food, and utilities. And the site also mentions that oftentimes a home may have dozens of individuals living in a single place at any given time. And if you think about it, a lot of times these are trailers. These aren't like huge homes by any means.
Right.
And if you look up, there were so many different articles that like I really could have gone on. Like we could have probably had a 4 or 5 part thing just on Pine Ridge Reservation and the different stuff going on there. So I highly encourage people to look that stuff up too. There's tons of articles you'll find. So unemployment rates were around 89% in 2005.
Oh my gosh.
And since then, the Department of the Interior has stopped producing estimates of unemployment. Probably because it looks horrible, because.
Right. It can't really get much higher than that, so.
No. No.
Gosh.
So this next bit, I'm quoting straight from the reservation site. Per capita income for American Indians living on Pine Ridge is $7,773. The average for all reservations is $10,543. So most reservations are around 10,500. Pine Ridge is at 7,700. The United States average is 27,599. So this is the huge discrepancy
Jeez. Yeah.
of what people are making. So now the median household income is $26,721 for American Indians living on Pine Ridge Reservation. The United States average is 53,482.
Wow, so it's half of that.
Yeah.
That's really
And
sad.
this says household income. And again, we've stated there could be dozens of people living in a household.
Right.
If one person's average yearly income is 7,000 and they
Well,
have
I'm
an
thinking about the
89%.
unemployment rates too. So it's like how many of those people are actually even working? And then, yeah, the wages they make.
So the officially reported poverty rate for American Indians living on Pine Ridge is 53.75%. The United States average is 15.6%. The school dropout rate is over 70%. 28.7% of the native population of Pine Ridge reservations reports having attended a, or having attained a high school diploma, GED, or alternative. 10.7% of the native population reports having attained a bachelor's degree or higher. Statistics produced by the Ogallala Sioux tribe paint a bleak picture about the health of the reservation. Tuberculosis, 800% higher than America as a whole.
Oh my gosh.
Infant mortality rate is 300% higher than America as a whole. Teen suicide is 150% higher than America as a whole. Approximately 85% of Lakota families are affected by alcoholism. Approximately 58% of Lakota or of grandparents of Lakota families are raising their grandchildren. And approximately 50% of adults over the age of 40 have diabetes. Many assessments drawing from sources other than U.S. Census data and government tabulations place the actual poverty rate in excess of 80% of the reservation's population. Two of the five poorest communities in America are located in the Pine Ridge Reservation, and that's Allen, which is number one, and Wounded Knee, which is number four.
Jeez.
So that's just income, poverty, health for
Gosh,
this.
that is so sad.
And the thing with like the Lakota grandparents raising their kids or their grandkids, a lot of the stuff I looked up with these indigenous people who had been missing or murdered or stuff, it was their grandparents or their aunts and stuff talking about them because it wasn't their parents.
Gosh.
And that's where, for many other reasons, A, because they were in poor health because of alcoholism, horse, God forbid, something had happened to them too.
Right. That's what I was just gonna say. That's
So then I went to try to find statistics on like the crime rate here, and that was like next to impossible to
Didn't,
find
yeah, oh, I'm
anything.
sure. Ugh.
Bestplaces.net reported that violent crime was a 16.9% compared to the average in South Dakota of 22.7%, and that property crime was 30.8 compared to an average of 35.4. But there was a review on there, and this was from 2007, mind you, which stated that due to the fact that they had just tribal police on the reservation, the numbers were very underreported and that the numbers are much higher, which sounds about right. Like, they don't call the reservations tend to have their own tribal police, and it's very rare that they're going to get outside. So that stuff's not going to be reported because it kind of seems like to me, reservation stuff have their own kind of government and stuff, and like
Yes.
where they're still part of the United States, but like there's an overreaching thing here. So like they take care of their own stuff.
Which I think that's, yeah, a lot of just a lack of communication between.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is like what I said in one of my last cases, Indigenous people go missing twice. They go missing and then they go missing from the system. Then,
yeah. Yep.
And that's where it's because there is, I mean, Indigenous people have such a distrust of the outside government police force, understandably so. And, you know, it's just, there are things being done that they're trying to make laws and stuff in the government to help with the MMIW stuff, which we'll kind of get into a little bit more and everything. But it's just, not only is all this underreported, but we also, we don't have accurate statistics. The amount of people who are, it's just, I can't imagine. And like, I'm going to keep saying that. And I apologize, like going over this, I'm just like, at least I know that if I were to go missing because of the color of my skin,
right,
I'm going to have a better chance of being searched for, which, and I thought about posting this too. There is a woman who went missing from Omaha this weekend that they're searching for.
I was just looking at that before we started this.
Yes. From 168th and Blondo. And I was looking at this and I'm like, okay, but how many people do we actually have missing? But this is a white mother. And right. then we're and doing this.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I've seen that don't have these news coverage. Yes. Other things posted from social media of Black or other people of color, teenagers and stuff going missing. And a lot of people are like, oh, she's probably a runaway. They're probably a runaway.
But this, and this didn't even mention any sort of foul play. So it's like, okay, did she just leave? And then this is the one time they're not saying that. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, it's sad either way. Yes.
Yes.
I think,
and I'm not like, saying that she doesn't deserve to have this, you know,
but it proves the point.
It. Yes.
Correct. And especially with as little information as they have and that they're giving out about her, I have seen way more information of other people that have gone missing, but it's not been released, you know, like,
yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
I was thinking the same thing about that. I was like, this is very, vague.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Interesting that it's being broadcast.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. So now, as some of you may recall, back in August, I did an MMIW case in South Dakota then too. And originally I had planned on doing a more recent case of another young Indigenous woman. And as I was searching for information on her, this is what led me to realizing how bad things were, not on just reservations, but especially on Pine Ridge Reservation. So I knew we had already discussed doing this over the month of November. So I knew that this was something I wanted to cover when we did this. Because in the course of trying to find out more about this young woman, that's where I learned all of this.
Gosh.
So the young woman I was trying to research before was Shayna Youngman, Afraid of His Horses. So Shayna was 17 and was last seen on February 3rd of 2022 at a residence in Fraggle Rock. Her body was found 8 days later north of Manderson. And I should have looked up like where and location these are, but if you're familiar
still,
with the area,
I mean,
I'm sure.
We know the state is,
Yeah.
That was very recent. Okay.
Yeah. So, and actually, shortly before Shayna's remains were found, on February 8th, the remains of another missing Indigenous woman, 27-year-old Cheryl Tia, it was Tiara, but they called her Tia, Long Soldier, who had been reported missing in early January, had been found. So, an article I found discussing the fact that the community was calling for, like, tribal council to do something to address the growing crisis of MMIW mentioned that at the time of writing the article, which was February 21st of this year, Indigenous people make up 65% of the 112 missing South Dakota people, and 25% of that 65% were logged by the Ogallala Sioux Tribe Police. So that means the Pine Ridge Reservation.
Dang.
So in South Dakota, you have 112 missing people. 65% of that was Indigenous people. And then 25% of that was from this reservation.
Jeez.
Like, that's just mind-boggling.
It really is.
So, and that little blurb I just gave you about those two women, that's all I could really find.
Just that they went missing. And they found their bodies.
And their bodies were found. So the most...
Further.
Nope. So the most recent news article that comes up when I search Shayna's name is from February 15th, and it talks about her and Tia. Her death is being ruled a homicide, and a person of interest had been arrested on unrelated charges. But that's it. Don't know who it was. Don't know anything else. There's nothing else since then.
Think about any time someone white is missing and then that happens. It's like, you know who they have arrested before they even arrested them. And wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
so sad.
With the Delphi case, when they arrested that man, they said it was like a Friday. They were like, on Monday, we're going to have a news conference. Everyone already knew who was arrested before had their news conference.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So for Tia, I did find an article from August 10th of this year, and it was pretty much just covering the fact that the family is still left with unanswered questions. So this article says she was 28, and it mentions that she was missing during her birthday. So I feel like the first thing I read that's called her 27 is assuming she passed before her birthday. And I think this one, just because they don't know for sure, it was 28. It mentions that she was missing during her birthday, like I said, so this is the thing. The family hasn't even been told how or when Tia died. The manner of her death, nothing. And it doesn't look like they've even determined, like, nothing. It hasn't been classified as a homicide, natural cause, nothing.
They haven't told the family anything like that?
Nope. That's... the family knows nothing.
Oh my gosh.
Tia was last seen on January 3rd, and when her family realized she was missing, they put together their own search parties and used social media to raise awareness. And some of the stuff I read, it kind of sounds like maybe on reservations, the police forces there are kind of like our own police forces, where people, they're not exactly, listen, I don't want to step on toes, but the stuff I read, like, kind of sound like some of these police didn't take these things seriously. And didn't want to put forth the effort. So a couple
like that when you mention the fact that they don't even know when or how she died.
Yeah.
It sounds like someone didn't want to do their job.
Yeah. So a couple of days, and then with your case from Macy, like, I'm going to say it was probably the tribal police force and they,
yes.
So a couple of days later, tribal authorities set up official searches. But it sounds like the family ran into a lot of frustration with them. Like, they weren't being listened to. And the way they were forming search parties, it sounds like they were just trying to make everyone go in one way. And they're like, why don't we split up into different sections?
Right.
So a friend of Tia's actually decided to split away from the search party. And she's the one who found her body on February 8th.
Ugh.
And that's all we know about Tia. That's it.
That's insane.
Uh-huh.
Wow. That's so sad.
Yeah. So now it's not just women who are going missing. Although they do at a much higher rate. I actually found a recent missing persons case for Andre Starr. The most recent article I found was from October 30th of this year. He went missing on October 16th. And I do want to mention, like, this article I read seems to have interviewed, like, his aunt Toni and mentioned how she's been a volunteer searcher for the past decade. Jeez. And how, like, she's done this for so many other families, but she doesn't ever think it'd be hers. And that kind of took my breath away, because people are going missing at such a high rate and so frequently that they just have regular volunteer searchers.
Yeah. And that's insane.
I can't, like, this is like a normal thing for them, and no one should have to live like that.
No. And it's sad because it's just their normal. Like, they don't know. I mean, clearly that's their normal, and they probably just don't even think anything of it because it's just happening all the time. Desensitized from the whole thing. Hey, Dark Hearts, the holidays are upon us, and no matter what you celebrate, birdies make a great gift for your loved ones.
Whether it's the original Birdie with its bright flashing light and loud alarm, or the Birdie Plus with an alarm sending your location to loved ones, the 24/7 call center to help you, or the excuse call to help someone out of an uncomfortable situation, the Birdie is a small device that can give so much.
So give your loved ones the gift of peace of mind this holiday season. Right now, She's Pretty is running a sale. Buy one, get 10% off. Buy three or more and get 20% off. Buy five or more and get 30% off. So the more you purchase, the more you save.
And if you use the link in our show notes and the code DARKHEARTS15 when you check out, you'll get another 15% off. And yes, the discount stack.
With the Birdie, you can stay Heartland kind while also being Darkland wary.
So Andre is 29 years old. It was actually his birthday on October 20th, and that's when his family kind of realized something was wrong, because no one could get a hold of him. And according to his aunt, Tony, he was always in contact with someone. So he was actually raised by another aunt, and I didn't write her name down because it was just Tony that they were interviewing a lot, because his mom wasn't in a good place. She was an alcoholic, and then she actually died in a car accident at the age of 49. So he was raised by this other aunt, but he was in this aunt's, this is just, first of all, sounds like family's a very big deal, you know, they're all very part of it. So at first this other aunt calls Tony and she's like, hey, I can't get a hold of him. It's weird. And she's like, okay, well, it's his birthday. Maybe he's busy with friends or something. Let's just wait a bit. But then when this aunt later voiced concerns to him, like something just felt off, that's when they called 911. And at the time of the article being written, so again, October 30th, over 2,000 acres had already been searched. Tony mentioned that in one day she walked 18 miles.
Oh my gosh, how is that even physically possible? That's insane.
Well, and so like with the search party, you do have people on feet, but you also have people on horses and ATVs and things like that.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
So the Ogallala Sioux Tribal Department of Public Safety, they haven't made any public statements on whether or not they believe his disappearance is the result of foul play. However, his aunt stated that it's such a close-knit community. People talk, you know, people know things. And she stated that she believes something very bad happened to him, but she couldn't elaborate more than that. She's like, at this point, we're just hoping we can find him. And she said, I hope that someone out there finds it in their heart to let us know. So it sounds like they probably know. You know what I mean? It's like that.
Right. They know. And the sad thing is, go ahead. I was just going to say, it's sad that they just want to find his body, essentially. And they know that they probably won't ever have an answer to what actually happened because they're just so used to that.
Yep. But this is another like case like the one Unsolved Mysteries case that I covered they're reopening where that was such a small town. It's like someone knows something.
Oh, yes.
Like there are people who know. It's just a matter of whether or not they're going to come forward.
Yep.
So a little bit about Andre. He was last seen on October 16th at a residence near Ogallala. He has long, dark brown hair, hazel eyes, and was last seen wearing blue skater jeans, a gray short sleeve t-shirt with a faded green circle emblem on it, as well as high top shoes with black laces. Andre has Sundance piercings on his chest and back and a feather tattoo on his left forearm. So the family has set up a Facebook page called Search for Andre Starr, and that'll be linked also in our show notes. Because this is still an ongoing case. Like, they're still looking for him.
Gosh.
So now there's one final story I want to share, which is actually kind of several. And again, I just want to point out, you know, this episode could have been multiple episodes. There's so many cases out there. So I really want to stress to our listeners to do more research, especially find stuff by Indigenous people. Like I came across this article for what I'm about to share. And then I found that, and I've mentioned this podcast before, but the We Are Resilient podcast did a mini episode on this. And that's where they had a little bit more information too than this article had. So yeah, I just want to point out, like, please, you know, search more into this, look more into these things. So this last one I'm going to talk about comes from an article that was written in May of this year, and it's about Wilma Kohlhoff and how in an 11-year span, three of her children were killed on the Pine Ridge Reservation.
Oh my gosh. So
in the article, Wilma mentions focusing on her other children and grandchildren to help her get through these deaths. So I'm not exactly sure how many children she had. Yeah. But the first to be killed was her daughter, Shelley Poorbear, who was just 24 years old. And she was the mother of four small children. Now, she was killed by Jessica Lou Twiss on November.
They know who killed her.
Yes. So, but this is where we get more into the lack of punishment aspect of things. So now, Jessica Lou Twiss, I didn't look up much about her. I don't know if she's also an Indigenous person or if she just happened to know her, lived on the reservation or what.
Uh-huh.
But on November 3rd of 2005, Shelley had been riding in a car with Twiss when they got into an argument that turned into a physical fight. Twiss pushed Shelley out of the car, and as she drove away, she ran over her.
Oh, gosh.
In the article, Wilma says that Twiss actually, like, beat her, drove a little ways, pushed her out, and then backed up and ran over her. Either way, Twiss knew she had run over Shelley.
Yeah.
She didn't,
that's something
she didn't
you don't
call
just
nine-
not know. Yeah. You do.
She didn't call 911. Eventually, she pleaded guilty to, get this, involuntary manslaughter.
Oh, okay. So your car just accidentally drove over her and then
you
accidentally
you couldn't avoid hitting her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Listen, if you had beaten her, like if you guys had gotten into an altercation, you beat her up, you walked away and she died, I could see that being involuntary manslaughter because you weren't necessarily looking to kill her.
Trying to kill her, yeah.
Let's say she didn't reverse intentionally and intentionally run her over. She still knew she ran her over.
Oh, yeah.
And didn't call 911. So how does that not then go to second degree murder?
Yeah. I don't understand that.
Maybe
she had the intention. It was like heat of the moment, clearly.
Yeah. So maybe manslaughter. Maybe. You know how long she got?
Probably like what? 2 years or something pathetic?
2.5.
Wow. A slap on the wrist.
Uh-huh.
That's insane. So then of course, like, cool. It's like, I can get away with this. And people see that and then they think, well, doesn't matter. I guess if I kill someone, I don't have to really be punished that long. So,
well, cool. And Wilma mentions in this article too, she's like, when our people kill our people, there's no punishment. When our people kill white people, which she used the Lakota word for, she goes, you're getting 50 plus years to life or death for the same exact things.
Yeah.
And it's like,
why
is
that? Like, I don't understand why that is either.
Because there's still that systemic racism and there's still those people in power. And now, again, I don't know if the courts ruling over this are then federal courts.
Yeah.
I think you still have that internalized racism where it's like, well, they're lesser than.
Yeah.
So it's.
But it's still crazy that if it was someone from the same tribe, even that the punishment is like that, you know, like I could see when the victim is, how they clearly don't care.
And I think too, with some of the issues with even the tribal stuff, I'm sure it's just like our own issues. You're still going to have misogyny, patriarchy, those types of things, you know? All of our systems need overhauls, but that's where we're at, you know? So the next death then was Wilma's stepson, Daniel Badmilk. Daniel was a 40-year-old father of two, and on February 12th, 2012, he was beaten to death with a bat.
Oh.
His body was found by tribal police after a wellness check was requested, and Antoine Bissonnette was arrested, and after he pled guilty to manslaughter, was charged with just 5 years in prison.
I'm sorry, what?
It gets worse. because he was actually arrested again in 2021 for killing 44-year-old Andrew Bearrobe, who was also another resident of the Pine Ridge Reservation. He stabbed him to death. I couldn't find any recent articles about that case. The last one I saw said Bissonnette had pled not guilty to second-degree murder for that one. Why wasn't second-degree murder the charge in Daniel's case?
Right.
And so then I'm wondering, could Andrew's family sue the courts or something for not having tried him as such in Daniel's case? Because if they had tried Antoine, I don't care. He's the bad guy.
Yeah, we don't care about him.
If they had charged him with second degree murder, Andrew would still be alive.
Right.
And granted, Daniel would still be dead and that's still horrible, but at least
it would have prevented that other murder though. Like
5 years for, how do you call beating someone with a bat manslaughter?
No, no, no. That's not, I don't even understand how that came to be, but
no. And like I said, I tried looking up on Andrew's case more and the last was from 2021. I don't know. I'm sure courts and stuff take a while, but like Jesus. So.
Yeah, like that's
and
a
it
bit
took them.
Ridiculous.
It took them a bit to find Antoine too, because like he was on the. It's
yeah. Of course, and no punishment for any of that.
Yep. So Wilma's third child to be murdered. She was actually her baby, the baby of the family, and this was Annie Kohlhoff, who was 34 years old at the time of her death, and she was killed on September 29th of 2016. She was shot at close range several times in the chest and abdomen by a man named Orlando Villeneuve. Witnesses stated that she had chased him out of her home with a knife and then he shot her. So now I don't know the relation they had to each other, like if they knew him, if he came, I don't know exactly what happened here.
Uh-huh.
So he pled guilty to the reduced charge of manslaughter.
Of course, that seems to be the going thing for them.
Uh-huh.
Just chalk it up to manslaughter.
Yep. So he got 12 years. So if you think about that, okay, that was 2016. Even if he didn't get sentenced until 2017,
mm-hmm.
he would have been in jail already. They probably would have counted that at times. So he's going to be out in 2028. And I don't know if he can be paroled earlier or not. So he could be out earlier than that.
And to think that's one of the more severe punishments that they gave out, mm-hmm. and it's still not enough, you know,
yeah.
for something so just brutal.
Yep. And okay, so then get this too. There was a woman who was charged as a witness who didn't call the police, and she got 5.5 years of probation. And I can't remember if this was in the episode of We Are Resilient or if I came across it looking up at the names, but it mentioned something about how this woman had been there and then she left with Orlando and some other men. Like, she left with this guy after she just saw him murder. That's exactly what I wrote. I go, how is this not accessory to the murder? Or at least accessory after the fact?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Or I guess if they just left her body either way. But yeah, she had to do... No.
That's insane. She should have been accessory. Not. It was like a witness... Something about, like, hiding information or, like, keeping information from the police. I'm like, that's fucking accessory at the very least after the fact. Because if they went and she didn't know that he was about to do that, fine.
Right.
You still didn't call police.
Right.
And you left with him.
Probation.
Yeah.
Nah, yes. Bro, that's not, no.
So, one last bit of stuff that I kind of wanted to read just to wrap this up. This comes from Andrea Starr's missing person article that I read. So this is mm-hmm. me reading from this. The prevalence of missing and murdered Indigenous men and women across the U.S. and Canada is so strong that it's now referred to as an epidemic. A movement called MMIW, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, started in Canada and quickly spread throughout the United States, where tribal communities shared the struggle of limited resources and interest for their missing people. In a May 2022 interview with News Center One, local activist Davidica Little Spotted Horse spoke about the need for awareness, saying, "So many people out there who are non-Native don't even realize this is an epidemic in Indigenous populations, and so spreading the word would be the first thing to help." Little Spotted Horse says MMIW has grown from Indigenous women to include men and children, too.
That's very sad.
Yeah. And that's wow. That's kind of what I've got for the Pine Ridge Reservation. Like I said, there, if you search Pine Ridge Reservation, there was something I read, an article I saw that I glanced at briefly and I want to go back to, but it was like a day in the life of someone who lived on Pine Ridge, you know, and it was like a 50 some year old man talking about this tiny rundown trailer he lived in on several acres of land, but
right.
how, where he was at, they don't even have electricity. they use batteries as generator, you know?
Yeah. That's so sad.
Yeah.
Especially, like, you don't think about that stuff this day and age, like, still being a thing, essentially.
Especially the United States.
Yes.
Everyone likes to tout how great the United States is and all this stuff, but it's like, we have whole communities who are living in poverty.
Yeah. And nothing is...
Yeah.
I shouldn't say nothing. I know there are people out there that are trying.
There are people out there, but there's not enough. And that's why, we want to do this, no matter how small our platform may be, if we can get this out to whoever and then they can start to spread awareness too, you know, hopefully it's like a ripple effect.
Yes.
And I do have linked in the show notes as well, the Pine Ridge Reservations website where you can make donations if you feel so inclined. You know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Winter is coming up, you know? Yes. So
that's, yeah.
Yeah. You guys, like I said, I highly, highly encourage people to do their own research, to start to try to look for these things to help raise that awareness.
Yeah. I mean, think about how many stories you just told in not even an hour's time of people missing because there was that much, like, lacking information to support any of the stories. So,
and those are just recent ones because the one I did back in August, if you remember, she was the woman who it was decades later that they found it was the two boys and cousin, you know, and of course they were white and stuff like that.
And they got off there, right?
There are so many like that I found too, with just little blurbs from the Pine Ridge Reservation of like that went missing in the 70s. There was one woman who I wish I had written down her name now, because I didn't look back this far, but I remember distinctly she had gotten off of the bus. Her and her friend were walking. She didn't have gloves. It was a freezing day. That was the last anyone has seen her. There's been nothing, no sign or anything. That was the 70s. Gosh. You know, so it's not like this is a recent thing. And that's all there was. It's a tiny little thing. Like, this is the description of what she was wearing the day she went missing. And that was it.
That's it. The end. Gosh. That's really sad.
Yeah.
That's very eye-opening. I mean, everyone should be somewhat aware of this issue because, I mean, it's pretty much out there to, like, it's a thing now. I mean, people, they've made it more of a thing where people definitely can educate themselves and see how they can help and all of that. But that's just, I don't even have words. It's really sad that we can't find any information. I think about if I, you know, had a child and we were Indigenous and how devastating that would be if she went missing and nobody even cared or would help. Like, you know, now, like you said, at least we know someone would be searching for us, but that's just, it's sad. I mean, when you really put yourself in their shoes and you think about that, like, what a sad way to live and scary way to live all the time. That's their reality.
Well, and two, you know, with all the true crime shows and things we have now, why don't we have, at least I never came across anything. And if anyone knows of any, like any documentaries or things about some of this stuff and like,
I know,
hopefully these are things that are in the works. You know, we do have podcasts now who are focusing on, you know, there are podcasts like The Fall Line focuses on people of color and their missing cases and stuff. And that's a really good podcast too. We have the We Are Resilient who focus solely on Indigenous people.
I'm glad that,
We're getting those podcasts, which are great because we know podcasts are becoming more popular and stuff like that. But we still need more of those TV shows that Netflix and Amazon, all those places, Hulu, are dropping all the time. Like, granted, we have that Hillary Swank one, which is all well and good, but we're also...
It's still a drama, you know what I mean?
It's a drama, like, it's fictionalized, and we also kind of have the white savior aspect thing going on here, because it's a white woman bringing attention to this. And the fact of the matter is like, sometimes, unfortunately, the way society is, that's what has to happen. A bit is you have to have a couple white people who are in a position to be heard and be seen talk about this, even though you've had all these Indigenous activists and people trying to do this forever. Right. And then this one white person, though, was the one getting all the credit, you know, of like, oh, they called so much attention to it. And it's like,
okay. It's just because people listen to them more because of them being white, unfortunately, you know?
So, I mean, hopefully, though, I mean, truth be told, though, hopefully that Hilary Swank show makes people who've decided to watch it become more aware of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure anyone who's listened.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
I'm sure enough people who have listened to true crime have heard of some of these cases. You know, I feel like a lot of the podcasts I've listened to have covered some of these cases. But I think, too, it's one of those things, like I said, until you're fully researching it, like, you can know logically in your head, okay, this is an issue, but until you go searching it, it's not as comprehensive. And even then, you're reading this, you're like, I don't fucking understand how we're in 2022, and this is still so prevalent, and this is still such a huge issue.
Yep. And nothing seems to be changing. I mean, back when there wasn't social media and better, you know, news coverage, like, even then, it's not like an excuse, but makes more sense that we wouldn't find information on old cases. Yeah. But the fact that they're like this past year and there's that, and ones that are as close as they are to us that we haven't heard about.
Yeah.
But we hear about people across the country for very similar things. And that's, you know, pops up on breaking news immediately.
And if you think about it, we know more about Jack the Ripper.
Oh, yeah.
From 100 plus years ago. I don't know.
Very true.
I'm horrible with dates.
Forever ago.
Than we do about these missing people from this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, Tia, we should at least know, was it a homicide?
Right. The fact that that's not even out there, like...
Like, is this being investigated still? Like, what is going on? We should at the very least know that.
I agree.
Like, if for whatever reason they're keeping her cause of death, you know, because of investigation, fine. But it should be, yes, this is a homicide.
They should at least, and let her family know. Like, come on.
We believe she has been deceased since this date.
Yeah. Because like, it gives you at least some sort of timeline and in your head, like, some sort of closure,
having some of the information,
and
at least then you know they're doing something, or you can go forth and do something. Because there are plenty of things where police didn't go through the investigation. It ends up being family or internet sleuths who take what little information the police have given out and are able to research and figure out and solve things.
You don't even have any information to go off of than that. No. Though. Like, that's crazy.
No.
And there's no documentaries. Like, with as many things that are on Netflix and Hulu and all the things, there's really nothing. I mean, when looking up information for our cases, like, there was no documentaries. I found that one on that first case, and it was only because we talked about, like, a child was involved. Yeah. So
I'm surprised, honestly, that there's not some documentary about Pine Reservation itself. And all of it, you know, the fact that it's so poor and it's right here in the middle of the United States.
Yeah, that's awful.
So I know it's heavy, you guys. That's what we've got though this week. And that's where we're at. There's like no real good way to wrap that one up.
It's just unsettling all around.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're all unsettling, but these ones are just even sadder. So because of the fact that there's no anything. So
yeah, it's like no coverage. Okay. So
just more reasons to get involved or do something to help in whatever way you can.
Yeah. And you know, we're approaching it when you guys listen to this, tomorrow will be Thanksgiving for those who maybe celebrate or whatever. But we're then approaching the holiday season where a lot of people like to donate or, you know, adopt a family stuff, things like that. So I guess I'd say, like if that's something you're looking into, maybe look to see how you can help, you know, Indigenous families around you or some of the reservations near you as a thing. I'm not saying that other families don't deserve that, but
it's another one. Avenue you can explore.
Yeah. So,
well, and especially because people might not even be aware that that is an issue. And so now it's like, okay, well, here's another option for you. I know me and a group of friends last year wanted to like adopt a family, and first they were like completely full. And so it's like, I mean, that's great that there's so many people that are helping. I mean, eventually we did get one, but it's like, so in cases like that, there's lots of other opportunities available to help in one way or another. And it doesn't have to just be one of those mainstream things that you hear about. So,
yeah. And so like we talked about in the last episode, you know, 89.7 The River, I don't know about the last few years because I listen to audiobooks or podcasts now instead of the radio, usually have had donations for a local reservation. So, I mean, maybe even looking, you know, let's say you were going to adopt a family and you're like, hey, it's full. Maybe looking at reservations around the Heartland area and being like, I'm sure they've got things if they need donations or reaching out to those things. Like I said, the Pine Ridge reservation has a donation thing. I'm sure there's ways you can find if you're like, hey, I'd like to help, but maybe I can do a specific family, like adopt a family there, or see what they maybe need. So just consider that too.
Lots of different things you can do. I think it's just taking the time to look it up and see and reaching out to people.
No, we're not having canes right now. Maybe later. Okay, I'm almost done, okay?
Yay!
I'll be right back.
How dare you, please?
If you're quiet.
Yeah.
We didn't want to eat our chicken that we had here earlier, but of course we want canes. Sorry for that slight interruption. So... there we go, you guys. I don't know if I keep that in or not with her in a little interruption. It's a little levity.
Up to you. Yeah.
I'll see as I go edit it. But yeah, you guys. So yeah, those are things to think of. Otherwise, you know, research those things. And if we want to go a lighthearted route a little bit, have you been watching anything good or reading anything? Are you still reading your Last Victims or Last Survivors?
Sorry, I was like, which book was that? No, I finished that. That one was really good. The final girl support group. Very good. Towards the end, it got a little quick for me. We're like, wow, well, that kind of just happened really fast. But it was actually really good. I think you'd like that. But no, I'm currently reading Matthew Perry's book about his life. And it's actually, anyone who's a Friends fan, I highly recommend it. It jumps around a little bit, and that's a bit confusing as well. But it's a good one. I love a good autobiography, memoir, whatever you want to call it.
A big autobiography memoir thing.
It depends on who it is, I guess I should say. Like if it's I'm very interested in.
Then the last one I read that I did love was Glennon Doyle's Untamed.
That was a good one. I like that one too.
I couldn't put that one down. I just got Kate Alice Marshall's first two children's books because I finished all of her books. So it's 13s and Bracken Beast. It's written for 8 to 12 year olds, and I have no shame in my game that I'm gonna read them.
When you like an author, you support them in all the ways. That's good.
Exactly. I'm super excited about that. And FYI, for anyone who loves to read too, Book Outlet, highly recommend. I got a hardcover book for $1.99.
That's amazing.
I know.
I'm definitely checking that out with as much money as I spend on books. It would be probably really beneficial for me to
Spend also, as much FYI, Target has buy two, get one in their circle. So then you also get 5% off. I'm just saying.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff going on there. Everything right now. It's hard to do Christmas shopping when I see all the things that I want for myself.
Last year I was so great. I had all of my Christmas shopping done in October. This year, the only pre-poll I have done was you, which I already gave you your Christmas present because
it was amazing.
That's what I do. And my sister, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do for my kids.
Yeah, I know. Everything my child wants is expensive items, and she has her birthday 2 days before Christmas. So I have the joys of, doing all the different things.
See, and then
I haven't bought one thing. So cool.
Yeah. And my kids' birthdays are a month after Christmas. And so it's it's all the things with my son. Yeah. He's super into graphic novels. So I've been telling all family, I'm like, here's all of these books, please buy him, because I've been buying them, because I will always spend money on books.
Yeah.
And he likes to read. It's so I continue to buy him. But it gets pricey.
Yeah.
Especially because graphic novels tend to be quicker reads.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you know, and so, but like my daughter, like the girl's all over the place, like with what she likes. I'm like, I just don't know. And she's at that age too, where I'm like, maybe clothes. I don't know. As she sits right beside me, she doesn't know. She doesn't care.
Yeah. She doesn't she's know just, or care.
No, she'll she's forget. Just staring in the mirror and I'm shocked she's being this quiet. So yeah, you guys, this is life. This is where we're at now.
Yeah. So let us, I mean, you got good shows, you got good books.
Yeah.
You know, you can just share those with us. You can rate and review. You can put your favorite show in there. You can do whatever. Just rate and review show, us.
I will say too, especially if you're an Audible listener, I'm listening to Belladonna right now by Adeline something or other. Please don't touch. I gotta find her name. Adeline Grace. Oh my God. From the get-go. It's a fantasy.
Oh, I'm out.
It's so good.
I'm out.
It's so good. So anyone who's into that like fantasy genre, from the get-go, like this girl can't die and she sees death and people keep dying around her.
I mean, that sounds intriguing. Like, death is involved. I'm like, oh, what? No.
And like, death is their own character in this, and I kind of love him.
Okay. I mean, kind of. Okay. I can see the fantasy part coming in there. Like,
I'm kind of shipping the main character with death. I kind of want her with him.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if you read or listen to it, you'll understand. I think you'll agree with me. But yeah, so that's where we're at. So yeah. Rate and review. Tell us your favorite book, what show you're listening or watching and stuff. You can email us at heartland.darklandapodcast@gmail.com. If Twitter's still around, we're on there. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Those are the things.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's all the things.
Okay. So hit us up. Until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But dark land wary.